its military stockpile has been depleted?
Well, look, we have to take a step back here in that a lot of stockpiles were depleted, not only from what we gave Ukraine over the last however many years, 4 or 5 years, and the administration inherited, the secretary, Secretary Hegseth inherited a depleted situation from not only Ukraine, but also the ongoing fight with the Houthis under the Biden administration and a depleted military under the Biden administration. So they have decided, one, they're going to new types of munitions, cheaper munitions, new technologies, but also with these new defense budgets, rebuilding our great military. However, I want to be crystal clear. The U.S. military, and I've verified this every which way, has everything that it needs to conduct this campaign as effectively as it needs to be. And I have to tell you, the people that are leaking this nonsense deserve to be in jail.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, July the 26th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with what is happening in the Caspian Sea. We have an expansion of the wars, or emerging of the wars, Ukraine and Iran. Those conflicts are becoming one, and we are seeing an expansion in the conflict that is extending all the way to the Caspian Sea. An Iranian cargo vessel was hit yesterday in the Caspian Sea. It was hit by Ukraine, and it led to the death of one sailor and the injuries of other sailors. And Iran has warned Ukraine after this strike to back off and to stop targeting Iranian ships and Iranian assets. Araghchi, he even went to the European Union. Well, he called the European Union and spoke to Stunning and Brave, the top diplomat of the European Union, and they talked about Iran's escalation, which I find to be very interesting. Iran turning to the European Union to discuss the Ukrainian escalation. But I think I said Iran escalation, Ukrainian escalation. But if I was Ukraine, I would take these warnings from Iran very, very seriously, because unlike Russia and their maximum restraint policy, Iran does not follow a maximum restraint policy. And actually, Iranian missiles can reach Ukraine. So if Iran decides to retaliate, if Ukraine continues to provoke Iran, and Iran decides to strike out against Ukraine, their missiles can hit Ukraine. They can definitely hit Odessa, that's for sure. So we have a big escalation in the Caspian. An expansion, a merging of the two conflicts. And this is being done on purpose, no doubt about it. There are some very dark forces that see a benefit to expanding and merging the two wars. One of those dark forces is Le Gobelin Vert, or the people behind Le Gobelin Vert. We're talking about the globalists, the EU, UK, France, and of course the neocon deep state, United States, all the people that are behind Le Gobelin Vert. They appear to be pushing him to expand the conflict to the Caspian and to try and pull in Iran because Le Gobelin Vert, he was applauding the strikes into the Caspian and hitting the Iranian vessels, and Le Gobelin Vert, he actually said that he's going to instruct his intel agencies to go to his collective West partners. He calls them his partners, the coalition of the willing in the United States and all of these guys, and to show them intel and evidence that Russia is working with Iran. Le Gobelin Vert, he said, and I quote, that he's going to get the Ukraine intelligence agencies to share the information we have regarding Russia's new assistance to the Iranian regime with partner countries. I can't read today. So Le Gobelin Vert is trying to take us to World War III, if we're not already there. It makes sense if you're the Green Goblin and if you're part of the globalist crowd to try and take this to World War III, because you're losing on both fronts at the moment. You're losing in Iran. You're definitely stuck in Iran. Boxed in the Middle East without any victory path out of the mess. And when it comes to Project Ukraine, you're losing really bad. And so an interesting strategy would be to try and combine the two wars. Also, if you're Le Gobelin Vert, it's a good way to get your foot in the door to all of the money, because the money flow is now going to Iran and the Middle East and to that region. And so it benefits you to try and combine the conflicts. Maybe you can scoop up some of the weapons and some of the money that is going to these conflicts. Get some of that reallocated to Project Ukraine and into your coffers. So it makes sense for them to try and push for these conflicts to become one. So we also had in the Caspian Sea the strikes on Kazakhstan vessels as well. I talked about this a couple of days ago. And the interesting part to this story is that the Kazakhstan oil, or the CPC, the Caspian pipeline, and that whole project powers much of Romania. And now everything has stopped. So the whole Caspian pipeline, the CPC, is on pause. At least that's my understanding of things. And this is going to cause massive problems for Romania. I believe they get something like 60% of their oil or their energy from the Caspian. So Romania is going to be in a world of hurt if this pause continues, or if the escalation towards the Caspian and the CPC, that whole project, continues. And the weird thing about it is that Chevron is a partner in the CPC and the Caspian project. And now Chevron is complaining to Trump about Ukraine attacking their energy assets, which is in essence, when you break it all down, because the United States is ultimately behind Ukraine and behind the strikes from Ukraine. It's the United States attacking an American energy company when all is said and done. But the CEO of Chevron complained to Trump and told Trump to tell Le Gobelin Vert to back off of the Caspian. And allegedly, Trump did tell Le Gobelin Vert to back off of the Caspian, but we all know that Le Gobelin Vert is not going to back off from striking the Caspian, because there are other forces at work. that are pushing Le Gobelin Vert to strike at the Caspian. I don't understand what this means. Get at the Sabbat cats? I don't know. Anyway, all right. So that's a weird development. Hey, President Trump, stop attacking us. stop telling or stop giving Ukraine the targeting data to attack our assets in the Caspian. Okay, I like it. I like it a lot, Mr. Chevron. The Wall Street Journal has an article with the title, "Chevron is trying to keep its Kazakh assets out of the Russia-Ukraine war." CEO Mike Wirth recently spoke with the Trump administration officials about Ukraine's attacks on tankers in the Black Sea. So the oil also goes to Ukraine as well, which makes it doubly or triply bizarre, this entire attack into the Caspian pipeline, into this project. Not only do you power up Romania, but my understanding is that a lot of the oil also goes to Ukraine as well. But this has all been put on pause right now. And Putin met with Tokayev, the leader of Kazakhstan, yesterday in Omsk, I believe. And no doubt they discussed everything that's going on in the Caspian, no doubt about it. But Kazakhstan said that Russia's a very important, valuable, trusted partner of theirs. Very important, if not one of the most important partners for Kazakhstan. So we'll see where this all goes. It's an escalation. It's an escalation moving towards creating a wider, bigger, combined war. That's what all of this is leading us towards. The Museum of Tourism. Inception. Christopher Nolan. The Odyssey. Anyway, all right. Saudi Arabia is also stuck. They're in a big mess, Saudi Arabia. The Wall Street Journal put out an article today which said that Saudi Arabia's oil supplies now depend on a single exit, one exit. And that exit is the Al Mandab Strait. And if the Houthis continue to strike at Al Mandab, or continue to implement the naval blockade, then it's going to force Saudi Arabia to get the oil out through the Suez Canal. And when I mean the Suez Canal, I'm looking at a map right now. I'll put it up on the screen. It's coming from the WSJ. All around Africa. Yeah. From the west. You go up. You go around Africa, and then you make it towards Asia. Wow. That is brutal. That would be the only way that they can get the oil out. If the Houthis really, really squeeze Saudi Arabia. So we have blockades on Hormuz. Blockades on Al Mandab Strait, maybe, possibly. We have the Caspian Sea now. There's a blockade on Cuba still, which is not really reported on much, but it's there. The U.S. is blocking Iran as well. You have Hormuz, you have Al Mandab, you have the U.S. blockade. You have a Stunning and Brave calling for a blockade in the Indian Ocean. Wow. What a mess we are. We are in. All deliberate. Everything is going according to plan. Whose plan? What is the plan? That is the question. So, the United States has held off on striking Iran for a second day in a row. 2 days in a row, they got the 13 consecutive airstrikes into Iran. And now everything is on hold. And it is on hold because, according to CNN, that's where we were a couple of days ago. Gavitos. It's a long ways up. But according to CNN, the United States is running short on weapons. Stockpiles are running low. This is what Kane told Trump. Vance as well. Vance and Kane. Those are the two guys that are telling Trump, look, we can hit Iran. Fine. We can hit them. We can try to force them to capitulate through airstrikes. But we're running low. We're running really, really low on weapons. And they're concerned about that. On Friday, Kane specifically raised concerns about the U.S. munitions stockpile and other potential negative implications, according to the sources. One of the sources said that Kane told Trump and the U.S. military that they could carry out the options available to him and be successful, but then warned of the possible implications. The stockpile concern was one of many raised to Trump during the meeting, both sources said. Oman and Iran are in discussions. This was also revealed today, and they are trying to come to an agreement on Hormuz, how they are going to manage and run the Strait of Hormuz. And I'll put up another map on the screen so you could check it out. The blue area is the Iranian approved route out of Hormuz, which they are enforcing. Then you have this orange area, which is the southern route, the Oman route, which Iran is not in favor of, at least not until they come to an agreement with Oman. And then you have a white area, which was designated a danger zone by Iran on April 9th. That was the pre-war route, but now it's a danger zone. Highway to the danger zone. Oh, what a cool view. Check out this view. That is a cool view. So, the three routes through Hormuz and Iran and Oman are trying to work it out. They're trying to figure things out. Of course, we'll see what the United States has to say about any Iran-Oman agreement. They're not going to like it. So low on weapons, what is the Trump administration to do? Oman and Iran are talking to work out their Hormuz differences. What is the United States to do? Well, one of the things that they are discussing is an operation into Iran to remove the enriched uranium. We're back at this one. and Operation Special Forces to go into Iran. We've been here. We've been here before to go into Iran and to take out the enriched uranium. That is one of the options that is being presented to the President of the United States. And we're not just talking about Pickaxe Mountain. We're talking about various locations where these operations could happen. The Wall Street Journal is even saying it's not just about Pickaxe Mountain, Trump's other potential nuclear targets in Iran. There are other targets, Pickaxe Mountain and more. Pickaxe Mountain and more. So the New York Post is saying that there could be two operations that the U.S. military might conduct. And one of the operations might focus on Fordo and Isfahan's, right? Yeah. And another operation might focus on Pickaxe Mountain. And this would involve U.S. Special Forces being flown into Iran. This feels like deja vu, but anyway, U.S. forces being flown into Iran and going in there and taking the enriched uranium. Yep, the Pickaxe Mountain operation would be a bit different, actually, because going into the Fordo and Isfahan and these locations, they're going into obliterated facilities, right? Obliterated mountains. But Pickaxe Mountain would be different. They would actually be going in there in order to place explosives deep underground into Pickaxe Mountain, and then they would leave. So that operation would not be about extracting the uranium. That operation would be about going underground into the Pickaxe Mountain facilities and then blowing the whole thing up. Let me read you what the New York Post is saying. One sec, let me get in the shade. Athens traffic light. Anyway, let me read you what the NYP says. U.S. moles plan to snatch enriched uranium from Iran's nuclear facilities, the most sophisticated op in history. And the New York Post article starts with this sentence. It's the nuclear option. it's the nuclear option. Okay. Anyway, let's read on. It's the nuclear option, says the NYP. American Special Operations Forces are waiting in the wings to launch the most sophisticated operation in military history to seize Iran's enriched uranium from heavily fortified nuclear sites. I hate to say it, but I think the most likely way to get rid of Iran's nuclear material, at least what they currently have, is a military operation, because the negotiations aren't going anywhere fast, said Joseph Rogers, deputy director of the Center for Strategic and International Studies. The deeply complex operation would involve thousands of ground forces storming Iran's nuclear facilities, navigating booby traps, utilizing construction crews, and maintaining a large defensive blocking force surrounding the sites, a source familiar with the military planning told the Post on Friday. Yeah, the Trump White House has been here before. They've done this operation before, and we all know how that worked out. So we look at Pickaxe Mountain now, the other operation that is being discussed. And by the way, these sources that the New York Post is using, these do not appear to be official White House sources or official military personnel. These seem to be think tankers, but anyway, we continue. Pickaxe Mountain has emerged as a new target after it was reported that Iran transported hundreds of nuclear centrifuges at the Natanz nuclear enrichment location in the last month. We don't know how many centrifuges are down there. Would they be looking to actually disassemble, destroy, bring them out? I mean, most likely, if you had to do a special operation mission inside Pickaxe Mountain, the reason you would do that is you don't think you can collapse a facility by airstrike, Goldberg said. That's a destroy mission. If you were to try to get into the facility, you'd be seeking to collapse the facility. Unlike the Isfahan and Fordo, the U.S. could personally see quick success in Pickaxe Mountain. Pickaxe Mountain potentially could be like the Maduro raid, he said, of the operation that arrested Venezuelan ex-dictator Maduro, blah, blah, blah. Because you are infiltrating, you're setting explosives, and you're getting out, said Goldberg. All right, Mr. Goldberg, it would be a destroy mission. Plant the explosions, and kaboom, Pickaxe Mountain destroyed. Pickaxe Mountain from Universal Studios. Pickaxe Mountain. The most daring military operation in all of history. Two men save the world by destroying Pickaxe Mountain, starring Volodymyr Zelensky as the Piano Man and Justin Trudeau as the Hopper. Justin Trudeau as the Hopper. Pickaxe Mountain introducing Pete Hegseth as the U.S. Defense Secretary. Two men, one mission: to destroy the axis of evil. Mr. Trudeau, I can't quit you. Justin, I can't quit you. Pickaxe Mountain. Well, yeah, I've been making fun of Pickaxe Mountain for a while now because the whole thing is, who knows? Like, who knows if this thing even exists, to be quite honest. They could be making this entire thing up. I've been saying this for weeks now, for weeks, about Pickaxe Mountain. But it could provide the Trump administration with an off-ramp, a pause, because they're kind of stuck. So you say that you went in there, you say that you blew it up, you say that it was the greatest military operation in all of history, and there you go, and you get a pause. Pickaxe Mountain. All right, let's continue and let's talk about China's retaliation to the European Union sanctions. So the EU placed 14 companies and entities on the sanctions list, the latest 21st Russia sanctions list, 14 Chinese entities on their sanctions list, and China has decided to retaliate. They have now placed 14 European companies on an export ban list, including Rheinmetall. Rheinmetall is now on China's export ban list. According to the ministry, the Chinese ministry, the ban prohibits exports of products with the potential for dual use to the targeted companies, as well as overseas organizations and individuals, from supplying dual use items from China to the targeted entities. Will this cover rare earths? Yes. Will this cover drone parts and components? No more drone parts and components to Rheinmetall? Possibly. But China said, okay, you're going to place 14 companies on your 21st sanctions list. Well, we're going to place 14 of your companies on our export ban list. Russia continues to enforce their blockade of the Black Sea and of Odessa. They hit a couple of more ships yesterday with drones, I believe. So Russia is enforcing the blockade in the Black Sea. And the strike into Kiev at that weapons event has caused all kinds of anger and turmoil and panic in Kiev. Rumor has it that Le Goblin Vert is furious, furious about what happened. This thing was advertised to the public, this event for weapons and drones, MIC officials and executives, military officials, all of it advertised to the public. And Russia smashed this this event. I talked about this in my video update yesterday. We are starting to get a list of names of some very high-level military officials, weapons executives that were attending this event and have been neutralized. And there's going to be an investigation into all of this. Though I must say that, given we're talking about military companies, I doubt that a Ukraine investigation is going to actually lead to anything. They'll probably find a couple of people to throw under the bus, a couple of patsies, but no high-level people are going to be arrested or anything like that for this mistake, if you want to call it that. The publicizing of a weapons event, which really shows you the fact that this was out in the public, and you had military officials not only in Ukraine, but also outside of Ukraine, and you had all of these arms executives from outside of Ukraine attending this event. It really shows you how secure they feel about going to Kiev, right? They're not worried about any Russian strikes at all. Now they will be. So some more news. We have the New York Times putting out an article with the title "Clock Ticks Down to Europe's Ban on Russian Gas Tankers." Europeans say they fear a rising dependence on American energy, even with a January 1 deadline to end liquefied natural gas imports from Russia. Yeah, this New York Times article is basically saying that Europe is now getting worried that they're going to be completely dependent on the United States for LNG. And wouldn't you know it, Trump and the United States, it could be unpredictable. So, you know, if you're just dependent on the United States, that could be a problem. Diversification is tough. You diversify to one supplier, that's tough. So now the Europeans are starting to rethink things. Maybe our diversification strategy to just one supplier was not such a good idea, especially because that one supplier is going to be the United States and the Trump administration. They'll basically be able to exert an incredible amount of control on us as Europeans. We will be at their mercy because they will control our entire energy supply. We didn't really think this one through. Too late, Europe. All part of the plan. Dispute over Trump tariffs snarl Russia sanctions deal. A bipartisan bill championed by the late Senator Lindsey Graham has become mired in a dispute over expanding presidential Trump's tariff power. Of expanding President Trump's tariff power. I cannot read today at all. Yeah, so now the members of Congress that are championing this Lindsey Graham bone-crushing Russia sanctions bill are also starting to rethink things, because Trump now has his new tariff policy, the 301 investigations, which he's rolling out. And they're starting to say, you know what, maybe Trump is getting too much tariff power. Too late. Too late, guys. Should have thought of that while Lindsey Graham was still with us on this earth. Lindsey Graham should have thought of that while he was still on this earth. Now you have to pass this bill because you have to honor Lindsey Graham. We got to honor Graham. So yeah, they're going to give Trump a whole lot of power, tariff power, and they're getting very worried now. So let's do a clown world, and we can wrap up this video And for today's clown world, we'll go to the Loomer interview of Le Gobelin Vert. I did see the interview. And how many views has it gotten? 1 second. Let me see. How many views? It's not on YouTube. She's not on YouTube. On Rumble, it was about, I want to say 1,000 or 2,000 views, maybe. A very low number on Rumble. But she's mostly on X. Let me see what we're looking at. 1.5 million views on X, a video. Look, videos on X, I'll tell you right now, that's a view on X, like a video view is, like a million views, I would say, is around 100,000 views on YouTube. I would put it at a number, like a one-tenth. So if you get a million views on an X video, it's the equivalent of about 100,000, like real views on YouTube. So not bad. Not huge numbers. I mean, Candace Owens, she'll do a show where she doesn't even have to travel to Kiev, just one of her regular shows, and she'll pull in on YouTube, not on X, 2 million views on YouTube, right? So anyway, those are the numbers. Look, people are not interested. Most people are just not interested in hearing Le Gobelin Vert anymore. There was a time, maybe 4 years ago, where people were interested in listening to what Le Gobelin Vert had to say, but that was when he was the Green Goblin. Back then, he was the Green Goblin, and now he's Le Gobelin Vert. And there's just not that much interest to listen to Le Gobelin Vert anymore. But the interview, well, I would say it was your standard Alensky interview with a couple of wacky questions thrown towards Alensky. I think the questions, I'm positive that Alensky's team asked for the questions in advance. I'm positive about that. So they knew how to handle whatever questions Loomer was going to throw his way. And a couple of the questions were a bit strange for Le Gobelin Vert, something that the mainstream media would not ever ask Le Gobelin Vert to answer. One of the questions was about the sugary stuff, the white sugary powder stuff. Loomer, I think Loomer was confusing the train trip of Macron, Mertz, and Stammer with Alensky being there as well, because she asked about Macron and traveling with Macron or something like that, and whether they do the white sugary stuff. And Alensky said, no. And no one believes Alensky when he answered no to that question. She asked about NAZIs in Ukraine. And Alensky said, NAZIs? What NAZIs? There are no NAZIs in Ukraine. No NAZIs. Except for Budanov and half of the military command. And Azov. And half the parliament. and half the half of my administration as well. But if you remove all those people, there are no NAZIs in Ukraine. I'm joking. He didn't answer that. But yeah, he laughed at that question as well. No NAZIs. Le Gobelin Vert said that Tucker is not smart. He doesn't listen to not smart people. He only listens to smart people like Van der Caesar and Stunning and Brave and CEO Rutte, NATO CEO Rutte. Only smart people is who Alensky listens to, not dumb people like Tucker. Which leads me to believe that much of this interview is the collective West, the globalists' answer to Candace Owens and to Tucker Carlson. I think what they're setting up, and I think this is deliberate. If I had to take a guess, I would say that this is all planned, marketed, it's all deliberate. They want to create the nemesis to Candace and Tucker. Well, she is. Loomer is the nemesis, the arch rival of Tucker and Candace, especially Candace Owens. And so Candace goes to the St. Petersburg International Forum. Tucker interviews Putin, and he's traveled to Russia. So what do? You get Loomer, who was very critical of Legobrinver and Ukraine once upon a time, but you get Loomer to go to Ukraine. You put her on the Ukraine side of things, so you create this tension, this competition, this rivalry. And I think a lot of this is about that. I don't really think it has much to do with Russia and Ukraine, if you want my honest opinion. Much of it is about this rivalry between the one side, which is the Tucker Candace wing, and the other side, which is the Loomer wing. So one other thing that Legobrinver said was that the USSR was removing languages and culture and Ukrainian languages and stuff like that, which is just factually stupid, incorrect. It's just not true. The USSR actually was promoting the Ukrainian language and culture, to be quite honest. Without the USSR, there would probably be no Ukraine. That was just Zelensky mixing up his history. So one more story, and this has to do with the terrible fires in Spain, and unfortunately, Spanish firefighters are unable to properly combat these fires because the best helicopters to take on these fires are Russian helicopters. And the European Union is preventing Spanish firefighters from getting the parts that are needed, the maintenance for these helicopters, so that they can then use these helicopters in order to combat these fires. And actually, Spain has gone to the European Union and they've asked for an exemption because things are very bad with these fires, and the Spanish authorities, they need all the help that they can get. And the European Union has told them no. European Union sanctions prevent the supply of spare parts and the intervention of Russian technicians needed for their maintenance, the helicopter maintenance. Result, the fleet remains grounded. The Sumar parliamentary group has requested an exemption for these civil security vehicles. The government responded that the decision falls to Brussels without securing any exemption. Without securing any exemption. No exemption. Horrific. Ridiculous. That Spain, the Spanish government, if you go by this story, is basically saying it's up to Brussels. Come on, guys. It's up to Brussels. Come on. That's ridiculous. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X, Rumble, Telegram, Duran Shop, summer special, 25% off. We're also on Substack. Please like this video. Subscribe to this channel. Smash that hype button, obliterate that hype button, and I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.